welcome back or welcome to Kids Eat Toast Sometimes.
I think we're the... I don't hear other people do that. I don't know. No, not in a bad way. I think we could be changing the way people think about introductions.
We could.
Yeah.
Paving the way.
I get harassed a lot. Is it hard being me? Yes. That's a simple... No, when I...
Harassed by who?
If I'm at schools, you know, giving back to the youth, I'll just hear TikTok. They'll just shout, hey, TikTok. And I don't know if they think it's because it's cool or I'm lame. So I get very nervous in these environments.
You don't know if you're going to be bullied or if they're going to ask for a photo.
I know. And then I always, you know, I'm always on the defense. So this person will come up to me and be like, yeah, hey, the podcast. And I'll be like, yeah, what? Oh, what's your funniest joke? Eh? Okay, let's hear. And then they were genuinely just interested in the podcast. And I feel like I gave them terrible experience.
I'm sure you didn't.
A better experience than Michael Jackson gave his fans, that's for sure.
I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, at least people...
What about Michael Jackson or about me?
At least people actually recognize you. Okay, I've now been told again on the weekend that I don't look anything like I look in the podcast.
Ouchies.
I know, ouchies. So
that is about as rude as you can get without, you know, being rude.
You look nothing alike without makeup on. Ugh, gross.
What can you do?
How do you feel about that? Huh? Anything to say about that?
Me? No, not really. No. I've come off the depression that I was in my last episode, so... Sorry about that. No, I was down in the dumps, you know. But men must talk about their feelings, especially funny, good-looking men that are like the bread providers. And everyone's always looking to us, what's the solution? Make a joke. And it's important that, you know, even in existing in a trust fund, that you speak up because it's tough out there. I feel now that wasn't even really funny. It was just weird on multiple. That was supposed to be a joke about money, and it just turned into
a backhanded way of saying that you have a trust fund or that you're a trust fund
really.
Kid.
I'd love to see this trust fund, but I guess that's why they call it, because you have to trust it's there. you never know.
True. Well, maybe to cheer you up a little bit.
Okay.
We had a lovely review come in. We completely missed it, actually. It came in May, and it's from Unchained Young Thug. Love that name.
What is it? A Quentin Tarantino character? Who is this person? Unchained Young Thug.
And they said, 5 stars, love this more than my hometown. Unreal binge on this channel at the moment.
What? You said this was from May? May? Have we?
The 5th of the 17th.
Oh, these people are disrespecting us. Well, thank you, Young Thug.
Unchained Young Thug.
Sorry. Yeah, Django. Where are the other reviews been at?
I know. That's the most recent one.
Where are the people from Botswana and Ukraine? You know, it's no good just downloading this podcast. Thank you for listening and watching. Peace to your countries. But where are the comments, man? Get on. Where do they have to go again?
Oh my God. On Apple Podcasts. On Apple Podcasts, go and give us a review.
There's a link. Find the link either in our Instagram or on YouTube. And then just pop into YouTube, even if you just listen, and just go like the video. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. But I mean, 5 stars would be nice, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And we just take back all that Botswana bashing that we did a couple weeks ago.
Did I do Botswana bashing? Oh, yes. That podcast was Fuck Botswana. Let me just while we get into our introduction, just read some of the countries we're charting in, because I always find this, fascinating. So you've got the usual in South Africa, we 7th in comedy interviews and that sort of stuff. And in the top 50 for comedy, which is good because it's a big, what you call it? Genre.
Not everybody can fit on the roster.
So that's where we compete.
And it's not just South African podcasts.
Oh, no.
You know, it's any podcast in comedy.
Yeah, so for context, this is our sort of, these are our competitors. Saving Grace, I don't know who that is. Smartless, which has Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett, Hollywood A-listers. Off Menu with Ed Gamble and James Acaster. James Acaster, one of my favorite comedians. Great. David Spade, he's also very famous. Wednesday We Drink Wine with I don't know who. Comedy Gold Mines with Kevin Hart. Heard of that guy before. And then at 7th, Kidsy Toe Sometimes.
Woo!
By Samuel Holmes. Because it's the patriarchy. You saw me update that thing. I don't know why. The Full Send podcast. You may have heard of that. In a tenth. Bunch of losers. So that's, you know, where we are in South Africa. Thanks to you guys. So keep listening. Keep downloading. And
keep sending in those 5-star reviews. Make them entertaining. We really like ones with a comedic twist to them.
Okay, but here I'm going to give Turkey, because I think people think I'm Turkish. We're big there. Poland, I don't know about that one. Philippines, Hong Kong, Israel. Lots of people think I'm Jewish. And that's cool. That is cool. I mean, I'm just looking at a historical lens. There were definitely times where it was, in history, less cool to be Jewish.
So,
because of other people's anti-Semitism, not Kidsy Toe Sometimes. We're talking...
What is going on?
Okay, let's wrap this up. Vietnam, we there? I think that's for all those singles teaching English. They listen, or the children learning English, because we have a very...
Yeah, like, no, you got to listen to some good quality.
Listen to this. It'll help you. Nigeria, big in Nigeria. Egypt, the pyramids. Sri Lanka, because of all the unrest. Mongolia, couldn't point at that on the map. Jamaica, Usain Bolt. Algeria, who knows? Zimbabwe, we're high in Zimbabwe. Who's ahead of us? Another South African podcast. Ugh.
Also because of the unrest.
No, lesser known somebody's is very funny. What else we got? Moldova. That sounds like a pudding.
Okay, at this point, I think it sounds a bit like we're bragging.
Mauritius. I mean, I am bragging. Cayman Islands. Everywhere. So if you want to dodge taxes and listen to a podcast, go to Cayman Islands. Kyrgyzstan. Fuck.
Weren't we also charting in the archipelago or something like that? And we were struggling with the name.
Cape Verde. And, Tajikistan. Yeah. Lovely on a rap. A little Tajiki. Oh, fuck. Well, there you have it. I just wanted to read it because I always look at that list and I'm like, this is fantastic. So wherever you are in the world, this has just been a prolonged thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And get some reviews in, but keep and like irritate your friend. Instead of pushing them towards drugs, air pops, vaping, push them towards the podcast.
And we're out. This was actually just a self-promo podcast.
I like it.
No,
yeah, I
only
liked it.
Joking.
I liked it. But what did you get up to this weekend?
This winter. Oh, this weekend I just soaked up the last few little rays of holiday because I'm back at uni this week. It was lovely. Watched some hockey. Sam was coaching hockey. Spent some nice time with friends and family. It was very wholesome.
Okay.
Good time. And you?
I think I beat depression this weekend. Overs. I can't remember what I did this weekend.
I haven't seen you that grumpy in a long time. So on Saturday, we had to wake up.
So when I'm depressed, it's called being grumpy.
Okay. So we wake up.
It's a tough being a fucking man in this world.
We have to wake up at 6:30. And Sam goes, I fundamentally believe that you shouldn't be awake. Humans shouldn't be awake before the sun is up. I fundamentally believe that.
That is basics. Your body rejects it.
Rejects the darkness.
I was born in the darkness.
Anti-vampires.
Yeah, that's true. But we got to get into the news. I know how much you guys love listening about our weekends. I mean, you positively couldn't. But anyway, you're still around. Especially in Tajikistan. Why did that sound racist?
Tajikistan.
Anyway, we've got quite a political... Oh, yeah. I'm going to be a bit more serious today. A political episode lined up for you guys. Just because that's what's happening at the moment in South Africa and around the world. We also do have our puff pastry pieces, as per usual, which you guys love.
Gotta have them.
I mean, Elon Musk we speak about every weekend, but the man is unhinged. So we'll get into that.
We speak about that in Nati Mtepwa.
Yeah.
Nati Mtepwa every week.
Nati Mtedis. Mtedis. Okay. But there are big things happening in the ANC. And without sounding like I've done a year of political science at UCT, the landscape of South African politics is largely shaped within the ANC. Because of being such a dominant ruling party. So election times, when we go and we stand in the rain and we feel Ubuntu and South African, it counts. But because of the sort of hierarchies that exist in the ANC, what happens in conference elections and within the ANC's comings together really does shape what the rest of South Africa looks like after an election year.
Yeah.
So we're in KZN now. at the ANC's conference there where they elect a new leader.
Yeah.
Mr. Duma. You couldn't write this stuff, but it's not Jacob
It's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, exactly. But he wins, and there's all this sort of ruckus because the KZN is a Zuma stronghold. Massive support there, and obviously it's very anti-Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
So Cyril has this weird decision to make. Does he attend it? Does he not? And in the whole lead up to the event, it's very back and forth. He's got lots of events. He's doing this. He's doing that. It's like basically chatting to a girl on Tinder who's not interested. Oh, I've got this to do. But you just know it's because she's not interested because she knows it's going to be cuck. So like, that's what Cyril was.
Still going to end up paying for the date, you know.
Yes. So he arrives to, you know, the crowd singing Wenzeni Uzuma, like, which translates to like, what has Zuma done? You know, what are you
doing? What's he done that's that bad?
Exactly. And Duma, with a D, his, not mine, then has to kind of step in when he introduces Ramaphosa, be like, he's still our leader, he's still this, he's still that. You know, we'll chat about things later. Don't carry yourselves in a poor way or boo him.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty embarrassing to be the head of a party and someone else in the party. It's like, imagine you were hosting a party and then one of the guests had to speak to your wife about like, please stop booing him.
Or like all of the guests. Like come home, they're like, wow, get out the house, honestly. Yeah.
Like what's going on here? It's too much. But so that's interesting. What's your sort of takeaway when you hear like that unfolding?
No, it's embarrassing. Like, honestly, and imagine what it feels like to be booed by a mass amount of people.
Mm.
Like, no one wants you to be there. He almost didn't come.
Well, booing in general only happens en masse. I've never been single booed. No one sees you. Hey, Sam.
Like three people. Maybe at like a really bad poetry slam, like an intimate, maybe they boo you there.
Jeez, but I feel booing in the singular for ghosts, in the multiple for angry people.
Fair.
But yeah.
But yeah, I always find it so funny when people say, you know, and he was booed off stage.
Mm.
It's like, nah, it was just too terrible. They couldn't stand there for that much longer.
Yeah, the sound waves didn't carry him off.
Like, oh my God, I can't take this any longer. I've got to get off stage. It's like, no, it's just like so embarrassing.
This is not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's why... I don't know. I don't think this format, what we do, caters to live broadcasting because it's, I don't know. Maybe it does, but let us know if you think so. But can you imagine us getting booed? Like if we put on a podcast event and like 100 people came.
I honestly can deal with like the every now and again bad TikTok comment or whatever. But if I got booed, I think it would really damage
that
my
would,
ego.
That would hurt you. Yeah.
It would be really, really bad.
Cyril gets booed quite a lot though. I'm Antler. I wear boo. That's one of my favorite jokes.
I mean, it's not like it's just unique to him. Like when...
What, booing? Yeah, no.
Yeah, like when Becky was in power. Like, I mean, I don't know if Madiba ever got... booed, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got sent to Robin Island for 27 years. I think I'd rather
be booed. It's probably worse than being booed, yeah.
I think I'd rather be booed.
But...
booed by a seal. Arr, he's like, just fucking, this sucks. You know what? I'd rather be here on Robin Island than getting booed. Said Madiba, never, Chloe. Come on.
Come on.
Put some respect on Rokesh Lala's name.
No, but I'm saying, I don't think it is unique just to Cyril. Is what I'm saying. I think that...
Well, I mean, I don't think that's a sweeping opinion. I don't think you've made a big revelation here today.
Okay, well...
So where does booing come from? Because I think that's what you... It sounds like you're trying to tee that one up. Where...
Oh, yeah, it came from ancient Greece.
Oh, so you didn't know? Oh, I thought I was going to catch you out there. Okay, so ancient Greece. Yeah. Who was the first to boo?
So I think that they were deciding between two playwrights, actually. And it was a stadium of people and they performed the plays and then it was sort of, they sounded off, you know. They booed the worst one. And that's apparently where it originated. But it does also make me think of, I think it was also this weekend, Kid Cudi. Him and Cyril had a pretty similar week because he was booed off stage.
I thought you had confused Cyril Ramaphosa with Kanye West. I was like, different people. I was like,
Chloe, what, that's racist.
At Rolling Loud, I saw that. It was viral. It was all over the internet. And you might ask, how are we managing to speak about this during South African politics? And that, well, I'll tell you, you impatient swine. And that's because Kids Eat Toast Sometimes is directly named after, you know, Kid Cudi and Kanye West's love child, Kids See Ghosts Sometimes. I know. Take a moment. Refresh your browser and come back to us because, wow. I mean, it's not that impressive. So we have to chat about it. But it's crazy because it's also very interesting because I feel like after 3 years of no live performance, people don't, like, they think they're on the internet all the time. Like, even the way people have spoken to me recently in person, strangers who come up and chat about cats, I'm like, you don't have any manners. And, like, you, how can you say something like that and not expect, like, I mean, I get it. I'm not, like, a big, actually, maybe I am. I'm not going to, like, punch you, even that the coordination of that punch was, oh, hurt my back a bit. You know, I'm not going to punch, but, like, come on, have a bit of, like, respect for people. So
no, I agree.
When they start, they're obviously throwing stuff at Kid Cudi. Oh, there's so many different reasons why. Mainly there's, like, a feud between Kanye and Kid Cudi. And he was supposed, Kanye was supposed to form, not Kid Cudi's fault that Kanye pulls out of it and he replaces him, but probably an oversight on the organizer's behalf.
Oh, yeah.
And they, Rolling Loud, live tweeted all of the stuff while it was happening. Like, they didn't know
they're
what,
like,
was going
they're
on.
They're like the toxic third friend who says they're there for you, but they're like, ooh, Kanye just showed up.
Yeah. Where did Kanye come from? You fucking booked him.
Well, so he came on during someone else's set. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, I don't know either.
But so, like, he canceled.
Maybe it was Young Thug.
Speaking of Young Thug. I don't know. But so, like, he, like, couldn't make it, but then he still came on stage. It was bizarre. But my favorite part, I saw this video on Twitter where everyone's booing Kid Cudi and he's walking off and the guy holding the phone's like, come back. He's like, hey, man, come back. I was enjoying that.
No, those people objectively ruined it for everyone. And he's like,
so terrible. I did,
like, if one more fucking thing hits me on the stage, I'm leaving. And then, like, literally a second after, he said, a bottle hits him and he just drops the mic and leaves. It was a baller movement. You can't hate Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to South Africa. Whoop. There we go.
Upon Gangnam Style.
And what I find also so funny about, like, this whole, you know, when Zeni Uzuma, what has Jacob Zuma done, you know? Well, he's done a lot, and it's pretty obvious. Like, he's formally been charged with 2 counts of corruption, 1 count each of racketeering and money laundering, and 12 counts of fraud. So,
it's not looking good, bruv.
It's not looking good at all.
And that's just formally. Like, that's stuff that they've had enough evidence to charge him with.
Yes.
It's not like
that. That's not even counting the sexual allegations against him. But we're not going to get too into that. I do want to get into something that this was something I didn't think I'd ever read in the history of living in South Africa. And the headline went something like, Taliban faction of ANC take over KZN. The Taliban.
What?
So there is a faction of ANC members in KZN that identify as, like, the Taliban. They're pro-Zuma and all that sort of stuff. And for some reason, they were like, Taliban, that's the one.
So there's no actual affiliation to the real Taliban?
Well, no, I don't think so. Apart from, like,
being
the name.
Yeah.
The same name. But, you know, with it comes, it's like, how do we get people to vote for us? Taliban. No, it's madness. But the scary thing with them, not just their name, I think maybe they also saw what happened when, like, America pulled out of the Middle East and, like, the Taliban took over power. They're like, it's about positively manifesting. And, like,
let's take it to the extreme.
So that, yeah, there's a group in the ANC called the Taliban. But
no, that's scary.
Policy-wise, what's scary about them, well, I mean, you know, that sounds like a weird sentence, but they are trying to, you know, do away with the step-aside policy that Ramaphosa puts in place, which, like, prohibited government officials prohibited people with criminal records from taking public office, taking up places in the ANC.
Oh, okay.
So that was a rule that they had. They're trying to scrap that completely that people like Ace Magashule and I think it's the ex-Durban mayor, Yes, Zandile Gumede. So people like them can kind of join forces, and then it makes the shape of the ANC look very different again. So it's, I know this is a very political sort of entrance, but I think it was like worth chatting about. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Feeling very insecure.
Hi, Samuel.
But it's interesting, hey? So
I think, I don't know. It also, you can have a criminal record for many different things. You know what I mean? Like, you could have a criminal record for maybe shoplifting when you were 16 versus money laundering when you're an adult.
Yeah, but
while you're in a political party.
I think it's more aimed at towards, like, Ace Magashule has got all these sort of corruption cases hanging over his head. You don't really want him back.
What's he going to do? Like, lead the party from jail?
Well, I mean, he's not in jail, but they're saying if they, I think they're just trying to avoid that situation where all these people can cobble together and form this entity that can take out Ramaphosa. But anyway.
That makes sense.
It's quite interesting. And it doesn't stop there, you know, because Thabo Mbeki, the closure called Mbeki, just like that, former president of South Africa. President Thabo Mbeki.
Everyone knew who I was talking about.
But he spoke at Jesse Duarte's funeral and Rest memorial service. Yeah, this person has just died. And that's what I hate about politics. Yeah. They just turn these things into their like own little campaigning moments. Like, someone's dead. There's a grieving family, loved ones. And now they're just going to talk about how bad Cyril Ramaphosa is. And how he hasn't done anything.
And conspiracy theories and people saying that she didn't die from cancer. And this poor family is just left being like, guys, can you please let her rest in peace?
Yeah. Ace was like, she told me secrets a moment before she died. I'm like,
my God.
Probably not. You are not known to be all that reliable.
And then he's like, oh, well, she told me part of it in confidence. Obviously, I can't share them.
No, I know. There is only one way to make sense of this, because we can't. So, my dear friend, Sihle Lonzi, has just been elected president of the EFF Student Council.
Sheesh.
I think it's Student Council. Knowing the EFF, it's probably like Student Command Attack Force. That's Julius Malema, Commander in Chief. And I wanted to see if he'd pick up my phone call now that he's famous, and then maybe give us an interview. There's like a one in a million.
Let's see.
That's the phone ringing. Oh, I suppose you could hear that. I'm actually quite nervous. I haven't prepared for him to answer the phone. Now that he's a political head honcho and all. Maybe he changed his number. It happens. Maybe. It has to happen. Maybe. Wow. You think you know a person?
People have busy lives.
Well, his contact here is Sihle Real, because during Fees Must Fall, he had multiple phone numbers and was in hiding. It's a fascinating story. We must get him back on the podcast.
Yeah, he was actually one of the earlier, I think your second podcast guest.
He's too big for us now.
Yeah, you guys must go back and watch that. It's nice to watch the early.
You know what, Sihle? I hope you die. I never want to speak to you again.
Maybe I'll call back. Leave it on.
Oh, he's typing. No, that's not Sihle. That's my mom. Well, there you have it. A failed phone call.
That's your reaction to all my friends. I hope that you die.
So that was a very, you know, we might.
Oh, geez.
We might get an exclusive interview on another day.
But not
to be
today.
Fair, I haven't replied to his last message when he said, how are you? So maybe we aren't friends
anymore.
That
was like, 3 months ago? That's the worst. You know, like that time frame when someone sends you a message and you're like, okay, I'll get to it. And then like a week's passed. So you're like, okay, well, now, you know, sort of like, what do I do? Do I reply now? I'll leave it for a bit. Then it's 2 weeks. Now it's too long.
I can't do it.
Now you can't touch it. So I just, what I do personally is I then just delete the chat so I can never have read it.
Oh.
So when they message me again, I'll be like, oh, what? No. I didn't hear you asking about
that. That was maybe possible like when WhatsApp first came out. Now I just tell people like, yeah, I don't owe you anything and I don't expect anything from you. And it's not good. I remember like in the single days, those were the times, like someone would be like, hey, how was your day? And then I didn't reply for like 3 weeks because, you know, you were either grappling with a hangover, or maybe actually seen someone at the time, so you thought you didn't have to message them back. And then, so this would be in my archive chat, and 3 weeks later, I'd be like, oh, I'm fine, thanks, and you. Happened to me a few times as well, so don't hate the player, hate the game.
Interesting, interesting. That reminds me of, it was a like one of those like Good Morning America stories where it was this guy in this girl, and I think it went on for about 2 years, where he messaged her on Tinder, and probably like 3 months later, she was like, oh, hi, I'm good, and you? He left it for another 3 months after saying like, oh, what are you up to? And she, and they did this back and forth for like 2 years. And it's just so great.
That
it's,
is great.
You know, they both have a very good sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, and single people can waste time.
100%.
That is for sure. We're gonna get into some good news as well, because Banyana.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean,
we needed that.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
I feel the only people that didn't need that were Bafana. Like the guys were definitely at home watching, and they wondered like, fuck. Damn it.
It was literally
how?
Like mid-90s since I think South Africa's won, like a AFCON.
Yes.
Yeah.
We won with Fish and the gang, I think.
Yo.
Must have
That's
been.
That's so true. I didn't even think about Bafana.
No, Bafana were like, fuck this. No, I can't believe they won. Now we have to do something.
Female empowerment, but also...
But you see, this is where I get, so like if the team is more successful, if more people watch them and all this, they must get paid more.
100%.
The Banyana Banyana should be paid double of what Bafana gets.
They are now South Africa's first ever women's AFCON winners.
Just in terms of like funding from the government, in terms of success stories. If you're still going to say, okay, 10 million more people are going to watch Bafana Bafana play, I understand that. You know, we don't live in a perfect world. Wada, wada, wada. So there's different commercial values of the team. But in terms of success and actual ballers and brilliant sports people, Banyana Banyana. And to sponsor them, awesome, because what a brand.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take the opportunity to announce Kids Eat Toe Sometimes as a new shirt sponsor. We couldn't even sponsor a napkin for Banyana Banyana. Holy shit.
Yo.
Times are tough, but it's awesome to see. And also, awesome. In sports, it's such like a male-dominated thing, industry, that it's so cool. Same thing with like America's soccer team.
Yeah.
But fuck them, because they're not Banyana Banyana. So.
Suey.
That would be cool to get Speed to react to Banyana Banyana. No, he's actually quite crazy. But I don't know. More on that a bit later, I suppose.
Okay. Well, I mean, also stuff that's going on in South Africa that's maybe causing more international concern as well is not smallpox, but monkeypox. What I thought that I had not so long ago.
Clopox,
yeah. It went from clovid to clopox, but I didn't actually have monkeypox.
Okay.
People have actually been getting it.
What is monkeypox?
Exactly. What is monkeypox?
That's what we want to know.
So it's one of those zoonotic viruses, you know, kind of like bird flu, not chickenpox, which basically means it comes from animals. They don't know what animal it came from. Probably a rat. We don't like rats. But it originated in a group of monkeys, and these then passed.
You just said you didn't know where it came from, and then you said it came from monkeys.
So they don't know where the monkeys got it from, because it didn't originate. The monkeys somehow caught this.
Fuck, the monkeys cop and abuse that's why for
it's,
any
it's
virus.
It's called monkeypox, but it's not actually from monkeys. But obviously monkeys and humans are pretty similar, so that crossover happened.
Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, so I don't know about that, Chloe. But anyway, continue with your heathen speech.
Okay. So it was first discovered in 1958 when a pock-like disease happened in a colony of monkeys. And then in 1970, the first human was discovered with monkeypox.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
So what does it do? Is it like Ebola death? Is it like coronavirus? What are we talking here? How freaked out do the listeners of Cats have to be?
No, it's really not something that you should be stressed about like that. It's more like smallpox.
Well, didn't that fucking kill a lot of people? What's going on here?
Smallpox, but now we have those medical advancements. It's more like you'd break out in like a severe rash or blisters, bit of a fever, but you'll be fine.
Okay. I mean,
you'll be fine. Don't freak out.
That was scary. That was scary listening to you speak about that because now you can see why the world was so scared of COVID because...
No, you were getting so worked up. But what I did find interesting, because it's now started to... There's like been small outbreaks all over the world. And there was one in Europe. And they blamed it on... It said it stemmed from sexual activity at raves in Europe, according to the World Health Organization.
Mm, you want to have sex? What's your favorite position? Monkey style. Monkey pocket. What's that? How would that be? That would have to do some sort of backpacking maneuver. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a lot going on in that imagery. But that's interesting.
Yeah, because it's from skin to skin contact.
Mm.
So, I mean, you'd really have to be getting up in someone's business. Or, yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, monkeypox. Yeah, well, I hope you're not wrong about this, Chloe, because I remember being very chilled about COVID-19 when it was like, oh, it's in China. We're like, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's in America. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, it's in Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh, if the private schools cannot prevent it, we're all fucked. So
we're like, oh, it's in Botswana. No, it's not. Those cases weren't real, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fine.
It was.
Well, it's not fine. Let's see how it goes.
But it does, you know, with how not to catch monkeypox, and they're saying, you know, like, don't hug people. And it's like, well, I mean.
Mm. South Africans are done. South Africans will never go back to masks. I mean, we would, but we won't. Because it's, you know, it's also weird seeing people's faces again. I don't know how much I like it. Because I became such a weirdo during COVID. Like, oh, someone come up to me like, oh, fucking idiot or something. And now I don't have a mask on. So they can. If you've got any lip reading ability, it's going to be tough for us.
My favorite thing is people say, you know, I'm happy there's no mask, but, you know, I miss the anonymity of it.
Babes, go to Vietnam for a year and no one will look at you, okay? You can be anonymous there. The mask sucked. It also felt so scary all the time. It's like, even if the cases were down, like, you had to put a mask on. And I was like, also, I'm sure they saved lives, but, you know. Speaking of things that save lives, well, not really, because it's made up. Black Panther 2. Chills.
Woo!
I mean, Wakanda Forever.
Literally.
That's actually what the movie's called, but...
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Chadwick is not in it. And that's not a cruel joke. I was kind of thinking that he'd be in it for some part and then they'd kill him.
Do you think like CGI?
Like give him a hero's death. No, like that they would have done scenes before he died.
Oh, I see.
But he was too lazy, too sick. Wakanda Forever. No, that is a very... I think that was maybe the saddest. And because that was just before COVID, that was one of the saddest celebrity deaths ever. Because he was well loved by all.
He made such an impact. And I think the film also made such an impact.
It did, yes.
And he was such a big part of that.
And then COVID came around and like everyone started dying. So it was like a heavy hitter would die. And you're like, I can't be sad for you. I'm dealing with my own problems. It's a reality. But also Wakanda Forever. But yeah, what did you think when you watched the trailer?
Oh, it looks so cool. I'm very excited. The cinematography looks incredible.
Chloe,
it does. I really appreciate
lame.
It. Why? What do you think?
Well, I haven't watched a trailer, to be honest. I listened to the
beginning,
the Kendrick mashup.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It starts with a woman singing "No Woman, No Cry." It really is like it's a very beautiful trailer.
Is Lupita Nyong'o in this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But basically, cool. It's gonna be. Namor, who rules the watery kingdom of Atlantis, is the film's antagonist, with a trailer hinting at a conflict between Wakanda and his people.
Ah, is this a black or white person as the antagonist? The evil person?
I think that he is Hispanic.
Oh, wow. Jeez, what a way to get a race war going in America.
I think he is, because he was in... the actor is from Narcos, Mexico. I've seen him in that.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. But it's very exciting. And then... What?
This is a terrible rundown of Black Panther. I wouldn't want to watch it after hearing this, but anyway.
What
happened to our timer as well? Is your phone broken?
Oh, I think it just went off. Oh, okay. No. 30 minutes was up. But
so now we're just spitballing.
Yeah, we just...
Oh, now we don't know when the load shedding's coming.
Maybe we'll run out of time.
Don't know when the batteries end.
But this reminds me, I went to a coffee shop last week and my friend wanted to get a muffin.
Wow.
So we asked the wait. Okay, let me just tell my story. Okay. So my friend wanted to get a muffin and it's one of those health muffins. And the waiter's obviously like, ugh, you know, it's not like your regular chocolate chip muffins. So he goes, well, I mean, it's not terrible. It reminds me of how we've like tried to sell this. We're like,
it's not terrible.
Like, he's like, yeah, like it's not bad. And we both tried the muffin and it was delicious.
Okay. So, so he would.
Black Panther will be great. We just.
No, definitely will. I was saying, I wasn't saying that we've had a negative review. I just think there's a review of the trailer.
We need to get the Bioscope Brass on here. They would do a great job. But what I'm also excited for is Halle Berry in The Little Mermaid. So she'll be.
No, that is sexually ambiguous. Is she the Little Mermaid?
She is the Little Mermaid.
How old is this mermaid?
The mermaid is an adult. It's just called the Little Mermaid.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched that one either.
You made that very weird.
Oh, yeah.
But it's obviously really cool that representation is happening, that we're going to get a black Disney princess again. So.
Oh, okay. No, that is cool. I was like, what are you talking about? I haven't seen a mermaid once in real life before. Anyway.
Representation of mermaids.
No, but that, of course, representation counts and is important.
Yeah.
But so is drinking liquor. I don't know where that transition came from. I'd really also just want to speak a bit about what's going on in America, because Joe Biden is such a boring president. And I know Trump was divisive and this and riots and but at least it was exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like South Africa was doing so well when Trump was there. Now it's like it's all our problems are back in the media again. But so Biden has just had COVID-19. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No one knew that.
I never hear anything
exactly.
about him. Exactly. Only thing was that fist pump that we talked about.
He's fisting people in the Middle East. But Joe Biden, so this is what his doctor said, his body aches and cough have diminished since he tested positive for the coronavirus on Thursday, and he's not experiencing any shortness of breath, which is awesome. They have also said his voice is a bit deeper. So they're thinking of constantly giving him COVID to like make him more manly. But I mean, what is going on with that guy? And it made me think about the world and politics in general. And because we're doing a more, you know, political episode.
Yeah.
What is up with all of these old fucking presidents?
Old ass leaders.
Literally all of these. So let's go. South Africa.
Yeah.
Cyril is 69 years old.
Ayo.
America, Biden, 79.
Okay.
Russia, Putin, 69. And here's one that actually shocked me because I was like, black don't crack. Jacob Zuma is 80 years old.
Yo.
And he's still mshinawaming that tribe of women he keeps around that he calls his wives.
That's crazy. And you can't forget the Queen of England.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
What, she's in her 90s.
Yeah. I think she's like 94 or something crazy.
But she didn't do anything to get elected. Zuma and the gang had to be like hardcore political hitmen. But
no, but I mean, she's still alive. So.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying she's not cool. Anyway, so listen to these. These are South African presidents' ages. So you got of course, some of these happened during apartheid, which objectively, I'm not going out on a limb here, wasn't a good time. Not a good thing. Jesus. So F.W. de Klerk, 53. And this is the date of their inauguration or their age of their inauguration. Okay. Thabo Mbeki, 56. Mohlantle, 59. BJ Foster, never heard of the guy. 62. Marais Fulion. Oh, these are all the apartheid people. 63. Cyril Ramaphosa, 65. Zuma, 67. P.W. Buerta, 68.
You know, this makes sense to me, though.
Nelson Mandela, 75. But yeah, you're minus 27. He's quite young.
But this all makes sense to me. Like, you must have had a long career in politics. Or like successful leadership to become president. You don't just like become president when you're 30.
No, for sure. But also you'd think like there'd be a few less fossils hanging around and more like when you're looking for new CEOs of companies to change the vision and lead a country forward and inspire and just actually have the energy and output. You don't go like, let's get that. You know what? We need that 79-year-old. He had some interesting ideas about the world. See, he's kind of backwards, but he'll be the thing that gets us out of this economic recession. You need a, dare I say, a Julius Malema.
Ooh.
No, you don't.
How old is he though? I see here though, Gabriel Boric becomes Chile's youngest ever president at 35.
Well, you see, that's too young for me.
What do you want?
That's like when you get a young doctor, you're like, okay, it's cool, but like, how much do you know? But yeah, it's interesting that.
There's some like a prime minister when he was 38, 37, but I think no one under 30.
Well, there was also Ben Wyatt from Parks and Recreation.
Oh,
he
of course
was the youngest ever, but we all know how that story ended, and it wasn't good for anyone. Speaking of things that aren't good, Clodagh, petrol price.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's really not good.
It's not looking good. And but as a person of privilege, it's really been the first time it's severely impacted me. So if you want to keep me in your thoughts and prayers.
OnlyFans will be linked down below. But
only petrol.
but you see, I don't know if this, I mean, we're talking about petrol regulation and how that's going to be passed or should be passed fairly soon. I don't know if it's that bad.
What?
Deregulating petrol prices.
No, it's objectively good.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you having in a dialogue with yourself? Because no. We hadn't started speaking about petrol price regulation. We just said it was high.
No, but I mean, I think it is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying maybe it wasn't.
No, because, well, this all comes off the back of Gwede Mantashe, who's the is the mineral resources or energy guy, you know, whatever it is.
Mineral resources and energy.
There we go. So, well, I think he's actually just like the energy minister powered by Duracell. But so in a government gazette, they're looking to introduce a price cap and have retailers compete. So I think it's a good thing for South Africans. I don't know if it's a good thing for...
Not for Kryptonians, no.
What?
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No.
Imagine how high it is will be in Cape Town.
Why? No, it would, I'm saying it would not necessarily be a great thing for business owners because now they have to come. This is clearly Chloe and La La Land. Yeah, not a good thing for that. Oh, we different, eh? We different. Even on Eskom Sapush, we different. We are different. I do feel blessed. No, I hate when people say that so much. I think I've spoken about this before. I hate when people say, I'm blessed. No, you're just... Oh, shit.
What I'm trying to say is that if you think about what the petrol prices will be like in Cape Town versus if you went to a place like Bloemfontein, it'll be lower in Bloemfontein than Cape Town. You've seen it happen in the States. In California, like if you're traveling on Big Sur and there's one petrol station there's nowhere else you can get petrol. It's like $6 a liter. Whereas if you go up to Oregon, it's like $3.
But Cape Town is more densely populated than Bloemfontein.
Yeah, and the standard of living's much higher.
But that's diametrically opposed to what you're saying about Big Sur and Oregon. Don't just giggle now.
I think people will understand what I'm saying.
I think people will understand what you're saying, but it just doesn't make sense.
I do think it makes sense.
No, you're right. It makes sense. It just...
I think I'm right.
That's fine. It's very overrated to be right.
Okay.
Because all you can say is, I told you so. And then people say, don't tell me I told you so. You know, you're a piece of shit.
Well, should we look at what this means? What does it really mean for petrol to be deregulated?
So, I know very little about this. And judging off the last 5 minutes of conversation with you, I don't think you know much either.
This is from the internet. So it means moving to a maximum price or price cap will allow petrol retailers to discount fuel however they see fit with price, specials, bundles or volume discounts.
Yeah, that's what I said. So I don't think the Cape Town will benefit or lose out. Like across, it'll just be down to retailers and what they set their price at.
Okay, fair. I can also understand what you're saying.
Well, that's a bloody miracle considering this thing you've been talking about. But anyway, the rent around South Africa, speaking of sort of living expenses. Now, this is something that changes from region to region.
Just watch. Petrol will be the same. just watch.
So where would you guess that the highest rent in South Africa is?
Let me think. Western Cape.
Well, Cape Town. I'm surprised you didn't say Bloemfontein according to your last argument. But
I said it'll be cheaper in Bloemfontein.
So the average rent in Cape Town is very close to 9,500 rand. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
That's, anyway. Then, surprisingly, comes KZN. I don't know how it hobbled to this figure, but 8 and a bit, average rent in KZN.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Cape, just under KZN. Gauteng, also in the same region. So Cape Town's visibly a grand more expensive than everyone else. Then you've got KZN, Northern Cape, and Gauteng that come in. Then it starts to plummet because, you know, Mpumalanga. Like I have, again, could you point to Mpumalanga on a map?
Yes.
Okay. No, I was just checking. It's 50-50 for me. It'd be close. So Mpumalanga, Limpopo are pretty similar in 7,000 and a bit. Then you've got Free State. We've got friends moving to the Free State. You can see why.
Yeah.
That's actually Bellville. Eastern Cape, and in the lowest being Northwest.
At 5.5.
So I don't, being all these things you can work now, why not go, you know, instead of losing your mind in Miami, to go and work in the Northwest for a couple of years, save tons of bucks.
Yeah.
And then, well, oh, I suppose then you'd have to come back anyway to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Which city in South Africa are you least likely to live in? Which is just like a straight up no. And I don't want explanations. I don't want you feeling bad for people who live in the city. I just want you to let rip. Let us know.
I can't think. Anywhere in the Free State, you wouldn't find me there.
You wouldn't?
No.
Okay. I've been vocal about it. It's Durban. I don't get it. I really don't.
I just feel like there's worse places to live than Durban.
Then why did you choose the Free State not to live in?
Because the Free State's worse.
Okay, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But we shall power through. What else you got, Clodagh?
Well, what also doesn't make sense to me is Nathi Mthethwa and how he's still pushing for this 22 million rand flag.
I know. They quietened down after the social backlash because it was like, this guy is an idiot. And they were like, okay, we get it. You know, in a, you know, suffering economy, people are really out on their ass. South Africa is a tough place to live in right now. Maybe erecting a, maybe erecting a 22 million rand flag isn't the best call right now.
Yeah.
But he was like, fuck that. We just need to let it, the media, they'll forget about it. Cause he's still doing it. And they're taking it to, they're taking it to cabinet.
I really thought that it was shut down.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how, where this 22 million or how this flag is going to fit in cabinet, but in a cabinet. Come on, Sam. Be coherent.
But it's just interesting. Is he then also going to go forward with this 30 million rand choir?
No, he phoned them and he was like, hey, guys. And he heard, do, 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 do. And they're like, guys, shh, quieten down. Hey, Mr. Nathi Mthethwa, how are you? He's like, bad news, guys. The flag won. And then they had to send all the kids back. They didn't even put them back in the wheelchairs. They just pushed them out of the hall. I don't know where the wheelchairs came from.
I don't know what you think this Philharmonic
was. I thought it was maybe, you know, they had a couple of disabled chaps at the front.
Maybe. I mean,
you'd hope so. You'd hope to see representation.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on here. But this is all about promoting nation building. And
I don't get that. They're like, yeah, no, a flag is going to promote nation building and social cohesion or whatever.
Yeah, unless it's a sticky flag, it's not going to do any of that. So there's a lot going on in South Africa.
Yeah.
But I find like it's hilarious because when people go overseas, they always put their South Africa, whoa, proudly South African. Well, why aren't you living in South Africa? If you're so proud to be South African, you might want to, you know, come back. But that's neither here nor there.
Fair.
That's what I say when I do commentary for school sports. And, you know, like here on the podcast, I say whatever I fucking think about, literally. But when you're commentating, you know, it's a school demographic, you're speaking about children to their parents mainly, and people are watching the perverts. And so you've always got to like be quite sharp on like what you're saying and not swear or say anything. And then I'll like say something outrageous. And then the other commentator who I always have never met before, they never give you the same person. They give you this rando, looks at me. And then I go, ha, 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 that's neither here nor there. And we just power through it. So maybe you get a t-shirt that says that.
Drake the type of guy to say, that's neither here nor there.
I don't know about that. But anyway.
Hey, that's what I say.
that's what I say. We've also got Becky Ele, who honestly is, I, and I don't do it in a weird way. He's the new Zuma, just in terms of what he says. He like really? makes news anytime he opens his mouth. He makes news, he makes headlines. His latest is when people were chatting to them about all the uptick in violence and the murders and taverns and stuff that's been, you just scroll on Facebook and on LinkedIn. There's real stuff happening here.
The spree killings.
All this sort of stuff that's happening. Mm-hmm. And it somehow came up in these discussions that he comes out and says, and this is a direct quote, "When you have a tattoo, we don't hire you because you have a tendency of being a gangster." This is the Minister of Police. Wow. So, you know, obviously, to be fair, we won't just take his one quote out of context, which we should do because it's funnier. But he says his statement is based on facts, and it comes from the South African Police Service recruitment policy. So it's been announced time and time again on the list of do's and don'ts. I think it's number 8. Jesus, this guy's a machine. It's part of the recruitment policy. I don't know why it's making a noise at the moment. I said you don't join. The policy came from an understanding. I was repeating what was being said. If you ask me personally, I have my own thinking. Oh, that's great. But according to the documentation, tattoos must not be visible when wearing the SAPS summer uniform, which, if you're thinking about, is a G-string and handcuffs. So obviously that's created massive backlash because how can you say having a tattoo opens you up to gangsterism?
I mean, I completely understand if you've got like a big like 26 or 27 or 28 on you.
Oh yeah, like, well, you know, gangster like literal, affiliated.
Like gang affiliation. But if you've got a bit of a like butterfly on your wrist, I don't think that you're a gangster.
Unless you're the girl with a butterfly tattoo. Or is that the dragon tattoo? Oh, anyway.
They're probably both of them. But I also found it so funny that people were reposting this on their story and they're like, well, looks like I won't be becoming a policeman. It's like, take me off the roster then.
I'm a bad boy. Yeah. No, but there are a few places where tattoos are banned. Or not banned, but like heavily discriminated against.
Yeah.
Japan, because of the Yakuza, but that's also gang affiliation, so maybe I just watched the movie.
No, but I mean, you'll be denied sometimes entrance to clubs, restaurants, whatever. It's pretty hectic in Japan, actually.
Yeah, I think. We've got a friend heavily covered in tattoos that went there with tattoos,
yeah,
and he was fine. But I do think, like, you can't go certain areas. Crazy. South Africa is still very backwards with tattoos.
Yeah, well, I think South Africa is just quite conservative.
In general.
Yeah.
You make a very good point.
Thank you. For once.
For once.
Redeem myself from petrol prices.
No, you make good points all the time.
I've seen in the news another story about, you know, especially like indigenous tattoos, like facial markings, and it'll often be accompanied by piercings or whatever. And a guy got denied entry into Dubai because of these. A woman got denied entry into a club. You're right.
Sorry, this is where
it's
we do the...
It's so shocking.
This is where we do the Rennie's heartburn ad. Honestly, you're right. I do have heartburn. Sorry for that coffee. Rennie's, you can sponsor the pod. You don't have to give us money. Just give me them
Samuel's
tabs.
Samuel's gluten intolerant.
No, I'm not. I just have heartburn.
And it's tough. And it's tough.
It's tough. But I love how Dubai draw the line at tattoos and like shitting on people for money. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
You can come in. But if you got tattoos, you're probably a gangster and should stay out. Yeah. So
the last thing I want to talk about is Elon Musk. Because I wasn't convinced Elon Musk was South African. But due to the fact that he quite openly just pumps anything that moves. Oh, yeah. Including the wife of his ex-bestie, Sergey Brin.
Really?
Sergey. I don't know. Yeah, the co-founder of Google. I don't know if you say Sergey or Sergey. Anyway.
Sergey. I don't know.
His name was too complicated. His wife left him for Elon. But it's crazy. So he's the Elon Musk and the co-founder of Google used to be besties. And then Elon literally pumped his wife. Unreal. To make things worse, and I mean on top of her, I mean this, Musk had allegedly borrowed over $500,000 USD. This is not Czar, baby. US dollars from Brin during the 2008 financial crisis. So imagine being deeply indebted to a man who bailed you out at your lowest only to turn him into a cuck. I just love that word so much.
Bangarang.
But Elon and Amber Heard deserve each other. They're on the same sort of moral compass level.
Yo, no, that's too hectic. Elon.
But that was the last thing I wanted to say in the pod.
Do you know how you can redeem yourself?
How?
Save us from load shedding. We'll forgive you.
Oh, yeah. You can pop everyone.
Yeah.
Even Andre the writer. That'd be cool. Do you have any overrated, underrated for me that I can blast through? Just get these guns blazing and then we'll have to say goodbye.
Okay.
Very political episode, eh?
Yes. Maybe some more sort of like fun.
Okay.
Overrated, underrated.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Always.
Always. Overrated or underrated? Banyana Banyana.
Banyana Banyana are the most, underrated in the group chat. Literally give them all of Bafana Bafana's salaries. Let them actually go in and do a couple of, coaching sessions with Bafana because, oh boy, do they need it. And, awesome that Banyana Banyana are doing the things.
Wholesome.
Very wholesome.
Love that one. All right. Overrated or underrated Virgin Active Silo?
The Virgin Active Silo is underrated. Only few people can attend, and that's mainly due to money. But once you're in there, it's heaven on earth. Just at the very thought, I'm tearing up. They don't even allow any gym equipment on the ground level because they don't want you to be seeing other people sweat. How disgusting! So you just work. There's a new cafe. You can go out on the balcony and. You don't even think of jumping at this stage because life is so good. If you go into the Virgin Active Silo, you go upstairs, you just look at the weights. You don't even do it. Someone lifts the weights for you. I'm yet to get jacked from that process, but then you mosey on off to a jacuzzi or a sauna. Sometimes you do both because heck, when you're rich, you've got time. It's the greatest place I've ever been on a visitor's pass, but we're working on it. Anyway, what else you got?
All right.
No chance. That's what you got.
Okay. We can do one more. Okay. This is actually not related to the podcast at all.
Oh, okay.
But overrated or underrated? Patty the Batty.
Patty the Batty. It's not Patty the Batty.
Patty.
Jesus.
Patty the Batty.
Put some respect.
Overrated or underrated?
Patty the Batty is very underrated. I'd actually say he's perfectly rated because he's got massive pop at the moment. People love him. He's very cool. He's got a cool fighting style. I love watching him fight. He did a cool like suicide awareness thing. Well, it wasn't cool. No one was like, dope. It was just like nice that he said it.
Mm.
Obviously lost one of his friends in the lead up to that fight. So it's very cool. Mm. I personality wise, I actually prefer Molly the Meatball.
Ah.
Who was a Subway worker turned UFC star. So fantastic. It's so cool. UFC is the best sport in the world. Unpaid. Well, the fight is unpaid, but that's neither here nor there. We got to go. We have to go, Chloe. The UFC is calling. They want me. It was an absolute pleasure. You were great today, Chloe. It was so much fun with you. So much. So much. It sounded sarcastic that. It really was fun. And thank you guys for joining us. As per usual, we're Laya.
Bye.